Blog Talk Radio.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
That's my man, Mr. Keith Wright, and he said he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. Well, folks, welcome to the Father's Day edition of the Parents Club of Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, M.H. Scott, and hopefully I'm going to promise you a wonderful show because I want to dedicate this show, to all the fathers out there. The fathers that's out there that's doing their thing, getting the sons up, taking them to practice, getting the daughters up, taking her to practice, making sure that she's getting the best out of the sport, whether or not we're talking about the recreational level, middle school level, high school level, or even the professional level. Hopefully you ain't still taking no professional athletes to practice, but even still, if you got athletes and you are still heavily involved in supporting your athlete, you notice, folks, I did not say anything about no student athlete. I just said your athlete, then by all means, you should be on this show this evening and let us know what you think, what you got going on, and what are you doing as a parent involved in the game. Again, I'm your host, M.A. Scott, and you are listening to the Parents Coach Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, if at any point in time you want to join in on the conversation, you can always reach us at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. Love to hear from you. Love to hear what you got going on in your world. Hopefully, I won't cut off because for some strange reason or another, I seem to be out here in the Carolinas, and I seem to be back here on one of these back roads that I don't know if I'm going to have a signal the entire time. I was hoping to be home by now, but it doesn't look like I'm going to make it, but I decided to go live anyway. To get this show on the road. Again, folks, if you want to call in, join in on the conversation, you can always reach us at 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095. Some of you may ask the question, how am I going live on the show and trying to do this Blog Talk Radio? Folks, first of all, I'm not going to put my life in danger. I simply dialed in, spoke the numbers into the phone, and went from there and basically did the same thing to basically just use my fingers here just to access my switchboard, my Blog Talk Radio switchboard. So hopefully I'm not doing anything that's going to endanger my life as I travel along this road here. But if it seems like the conversation's going to get hot and heavy, of course I have no problem with pulling over to the side and get this show on the proper way. So, or if one of my callers decides to start fussing me out because of how I'm still trying to get this show on, by all means, I can just simply pull over to the side and go ahead and get it done. But, like I said, you know, signal may drop because I am down here in the Carolinas. I'm on one of these country roads where I haven't seen a street light, man, over 10 to 12 miles. No telling what may happen. But all in all, I have seen some gas station. That's always a good plus. But I do have gas. Anyway, folks, we're going to be talking to the dad this evening. I want to dedicate this show to the dads. Hopefully, we'll have a number of dads that will call in, number of dads that will join in on the conversation. Because, you know, I think dads play a very important role in this industry, you know, because dads are, for the most part, the ones that are, you know, hyped about sports and, you know, it's not until you really get to the point where you get, you know, talking about a lot of single moms or moms that have actually competed themselves, where you have that situation where the moms are, and ladies, please, trust me, this is by no means a knock or a dig on you or anything to that nature. Again, I'm just saying that dads normally are the ones that's still been pretty much excited about the sport, and they are the ones that normally you know, try to encourage their child to be involved in sport. But I've known a lot of ladies that have done the same thing as well. So I'm not going to totally dismiss that. I'm just going to simply have a conversation with the dads this evening. I've had several conversations with the ladies. It's time to bring the gentlemen on, and let's hear what they're talking about. Again, you can always reach us at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. You know, when I say it's a tribute to the dads, I think back to, you know, the time that I was involved in sports. And, you know, my dad, I think he may have seen every bit of one or two of my games during the time period that I was playing any sport. And I think that's why I'm so adamant and determined to make sure that I not only support my young men, but I also support anyone else's young man and young ladies that need that support. And I'm not saying that to not my dad for not being able to get out to check out any of my competition. I'm saying that simply because, you know, he had a disability, and if he didn't get someone that was able to take him around, then there was very few times where he was, you know, able to get out and about and get up to the games where, you know, just check me out. But, you know, during the times that he was there, I truly appreciated it. You know, I kept my eyes in the stand, you know. Guess a couple of times I made some blunders, made mistakes just based upon trying to hot dog for him. So, on that note, you know, that was my guy. That hey, you know, we did some things together that I am truly so proud of. So that's why I try to stay focused on and work so much with my boys and just stay connected. And I think that's what we think our biggest bang for the buck. Just staying connected. Just making sure that they understand that we're there for them. They understand that we are there for them. You know, it's not all about our dreams anymore. It's not all about our passions and our desires. It's more about, understanding that this is something that they want. You know, and I had this conversation just last week, sharing this with all of them last week, as I talked about how, you know, I told them, I think, you know, when you get to the point where you no longer have fun, it's really and truly time to just give it up. Time to just sit back, turn in the towel, just say, hey, enough is enough. Because at that point, the athlete's not having fun at it, and they think they're doing it, and they're doing it all for the wrong reason, then it may be that time they need to just sit back and relax and make the best out of the situation, whatever age. But when they get to the point where they're not having fun, but it's burned, I think we need to pull back and let them enjoy themselves. Because it's all about them at the end of the day. It's not about us. But we've had our time to shine. We've had our glory days. We've had our silver dimmer. You know, now it's all about them. Them enjoying it. Them getting the best out of it. But one of the things I like to say about dads, we have to be there. They're encouraged. We have to be there. Motivating. We don't have to be there to be the coach, because that's why you got this guy over to the left and the guy over to the right. Be there and be that coach. You know, if you were going to be the coach, then you should have continued to coach the team. I'll say a little bit about that thing on the show. But, we need to be there just to be the motivator, just to be the guiding light. Be the strong supporter. And when I say the strong supporter, we can be the strong supporter and also be silent at the same time. It's not always that we need to overly insert ourselves into the conversation or into the game to the point of where our children are feeling uncomfortable based upon what we're saying or doing on the sidelines. You know, I had that conversation just last week with a young lady that called in, and she was telling me about her son. You know, she was very strong-minded individual, and I totally applaud her, because just listening to her conversation, I'm assuming that it's just my assumption. I didn't know her personally. Just my assumption that she has raised her son on her own. And as a result, you have to step up and show that little bit of tough love, at the same time being able to pull back and let them enjoy their stuff, let them make their mistakes, let them make, carve out their own pathway to the point where they are truly comfortable with what they're doing, because they know that that's the business that they have made, not the decision that we have made, a decision that they have made. So once they have made that decision, then, hey, they feel real comfortable with it, because it's something that they have made, you know, with knowledge that they have, and as a result, they're invested in the game, and truly, make the best out of that decision will be something that they will truly enjoy, just to show that they have reached their own personal level of success, just to show that they are capable of making decisions, making sound decisions, and those decisions turn out to be beneficial. And, you know, something that we have to remember as parents, and even more so as dad. You know, one our children are out there. They're attempting to make those decisions, you know, whether or not it's what sport they want to play, or how much they actually get out there and train. How many times we can get out there, or if they want to do anything extra, or, you know, all the other little things that we have a tendency to stick our hands into. You know, when they do that, you know, they're doing that to show us that they are capable. They're doing that to show us that, hey, Dad, I can make a decision. I can make a good decision. You know, I can make a decision that will benefit not only me, but the rest of the family. Because as you think about it, and we're talking about high school sports, college, and so on and so forth, moving forward, when they make decisions at that level, what we're talking about, these things are major impacts for the entire family. Not just an impact for that infant, not just an impact for that child. These are impacts for the entire family. Because, you know, we're looking at a situation where, okay, so your son, let me give you an example. Your son wants to go to school at school XYZ. XYZ school is an out of state. But he has two younger siblings. And those two younger siblings look up to that child, whether or not it's your son or your daughter. Those two younger siblings look up to that child. And in looking up to that child, you know, they highly respect them. And, you know, in a lot of cases, they even worship the ground that the child walks on and all this other kind of stuff. You know, so as a result, when that older sibling decides to go to whichever school he or she decides to go to, it affects the younger siblings as well. You know, they know that they're not going to be able to see their older sister for a while because she goes way, you know, in the Midwest. Or their older brother goes way in the southeast corner of the United States. You know, so as a result, you have to remember these things when they're making that decision. And they have to remember that as well, that it not only affects them, but it also affects their siblings as well. Well, folks, I'm not sure. I'm hoping that I haven't dropped my call, because all of a sudden I think my caller's seen the caller that was on the line with me, but I no longer see that caller. I'm not sure if that caller dropped off or a signal dropped. Someone give me a call and let me know that you hear me. Reach me at 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095, and just let me know that we're still on the air. We're still modulating. We're still sending out those great words of wisdom, and we're still sharing good insight with our listening audience. So please, if you have a chance to listen, tune in to us, you can hear us. Give us a call. Hit option one. Once you hit option one, I'll bring you on the air. And the only thing you have to say, if you're shy and still you don't want to be on the air with us, just let us know, hey, we still hear you, we still appreciate you, or whatever. Just let me know that you're still out there, because if not, I will continue to talk, of course. And at the same time, hopefully, I'm sharing information with somebody international, which I think is this global network. You know, out here playing around the global market. But anyway, our conversation today, folks, is to the dad, and reaching out to the dad and let the dad know that, hey, we're here for you just like we're here for the moms. You know, we're here to make one big happy family. a group of us having the opportunity to share our experience, share our insight, share our love, share our compassion for the sport. And not only just for the sport, but for all of our children that are involved in the sport. All of our children that are involved in the sport. You know, and that in itself speaks volumes. That in itself speaks volumes. Because, you know, the knowledge, wisdom like that we have, not only something that we can share with other folks, but it's something that, you know, we can share with the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. Okay, someone's trying to actually call me at the same time as I'm trying to do my show here. Not sure, folks. You know, I'm on and I'm doing my show. And I'm not going to sidetrack doing my show to go ahead and entertain your phone call. Sorry about that. But if you want to give us a call here on the show, you can always reach us at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. But let's see if we can figure out what's going on here. Try to play a couple little soundtracks for you. That'll let me know if I'm actually still on the air. Or did I drop the signal? I think I may have dropped.
Success Uncomplicated, The Real Coach Carter's 12 Steps to Success, author Coach Ken Carter. Introduction. As I finish writing this book, I'm preparing for the opening of the Coach Carter Impact Academy for young men and young women. The academy will facilitate the fundamental skills needed for these young men and women to succeed in life. The goal will be to furnish them with an innovative educational program geared toward increasing their self-esteem and encouraging responsible behavior. The Coach Carter Foundation will sponsor scholars to attend the academy. Through this.
The images were stark. The conduct and language shocking. When the tapes of Mike Rice coaching his Rutgers team at practice were reported by Outside the Lines, Rice was fired within a day.
What was it like for you being in the center of that media storm?
You know, those first 24 hours were something I would wish upon no one.
Now, 2 years later, he's hoping and still waiting for a second chance.
Wow, great shot.
How concerned are you that because of that sliver of your coaching past, you may never coach again?
There's concern every single day.
Today, Outside the Lines, repentant, still fiery, and still waiting, the vigil of Mike Rice.
And now, reporting for Outside the Lines, Bob Lee.
In short order, he went from a middling coach struggling to lift Rutgers to a winning program to a national poster child for coaching abuse. Mike Rice had already been suspended 3 games for his conduct in practice, but when the actual videotape of his actions and his language aired here on Outside the Lines, Rice was fired within a day. His case was satirized on Saturday Night Live, and then he was effectively exiled from his profession. All of that 26 months ago. Today, John Barr, in a report drawn from the upcoming Tuesday night OTL 25 anniversary program, will speak with Mike Rice about that time away and whether college basketball will give him the chance to demonstrate that he's not the coach immortalized in those infamous videotapes.
In a nondescript warehouse not far from the New Jersey shore, a self-described basketball lifer is doing the one thing he knows best.
Finish, people!
Teaching the game he loves.
Oh, nice, JP. Get your spot, big dog. Oh, that ain't your spot. Go, three times in a row.
Former Rutgers head basketball coach Mike Rice.
Who's got ball?
Humbled by more than 2 years away from the collegiate ranks.
Attack, attack, run!
On this night, coaches his son Michael's 17 and under AAU team.
Good contact, right. Excellent.
And he's as passionate.
Nice, go, 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 Jack!
And animated as ever.
Ryan, shoot the ball, Ryan Jensen.
Do you know any other way?
No. Whether it's my 17 and under AU basketball team or a group of fourth graders learning to dribble with two balls, the same passion and energy will be out.
This is how most of America got to know Mike Rice. April 2nd, 2013. Outside the Lines first broadcast recordings from his practices at Rutgers University. Recordings that showed him hurling basketballs at his players, shoving and kicking them, and, in a few instances, using gay slurs.
It's a low light, but it's clearly something that you're always going to have to live with. Something I'll have to deal with every single day. And embarrassment, disappointment aren't strong enough words.
The release of the video touched off a wave of media coverage.
A huge controversy is erupting tonight after ESPN broke a huge story.
ESPN's Outside the Lines obtained hours of video of Rutgers practice.
The disturbing video set off an avalanche of criticism. A New Jersey State Assemblyman demanding Coach Mike Rice be fired immediately.
What was it like for you being in the center of that media storm?
You know, those first 24 hours were something I would wish upon no one.
Just a day after Outside the Lines broke the story, Rice was fired. Within 3 days, his top assistant, Jimmy Martelli, also seen here on the videotape getting physical with players, the school's general counsel, and Rutgers athletic director Tim Pernetti all resigned as the fallout from the scandal spread.
You look in a mirror and say, how did I do this? How can I do this to my family?
What was the lowest point for you, Mike?
Walking into the house when I first saw them.
Your wife and kids?
Yeah, sure. It's my son's 15th Yeah, it was my son's 15th birthday. To let him know I did this to him, there's a reason why we're not, Michael, we're not going out with your friends. So that was the lowest point. Nothing can ever prepare you to go into a house where your family's looking at you. Say, why is this happening?
When I did see the tape for the first time, I called Mike and said, well, you know you're getting fired, right?
Rob Kennedy didn't hesitate to reach out to Rice the day after the tape went public, telling his longtime friend he'd always have a job at Hoop Group, the basketball event planning and training facility in Neptune, New Jersey, that Kennedy owns and where Rice works today.
A lot of people didn't want anything to do with Mike Rice after that. You gave him a job. Why?
Because I've known Mike for 25 years, and I know that the Mike that was on the tape is not the Mike that I know, and not the Mike that, quite frankly, a ton of people in the basketball community know.
The road back, at least emotionally, for Rice has been paved with months of self-discovery. He spent a month and a half immersed in an anger management course and attended several meetings with a group that works to fight discrimination and bullying against gay students. What have you learned about yourself in the last couple of years?
That someone who has an old school values and mentality towards things, whether it's basketball, life, discipline, can learn new school methods and techniques.
Come on, Clark, you got this. Low?
I want to be involved again.
Jack, you got to come up here. He's getting way too low too quick.
I had to learn to forgive myself and then enjoy the game again.
Wow, great job.
There's nothing like being on the floor. There's nothing like being a coach.
Great separation. Good job.
I'd like to be a part of something like that again.
Have fun. All right, let's go. Get on the baseline. Play for one another. Go.
In the last several months, Rice says, he's had a few conversations about college coaching jobs, but no offers.
Great pass.
How concerned are you that because of that sliver of your coaching past, you may never coach again?
There's concern every single day. Somebody's got to believe in Mike Rice and his changes and things that he's done to, you know, develop and improve himself.
And so Mike Rice waits for a phone call and a second chance that may never come.
For the first time probably in my life, I'm unsure.
What do you mean?
I don't have exactly control. I knew I was going to be successful. I knew I was going to be a head coach. I had confidence. And now you don't know what the future is.
An uncertain future that he realizes is colored by his past.
What is Mike Rice's legacy?
That'll be interesting. Because it's one now that you see on YouTube. It's something that a coach crossed the line. Was abusive to his players.
What do you want it to be?
Yeah, storybook ending where he learned from his mistakes. And that, you know what, he did learn. He did change. And that he changed for the better and he became a positive influence.
Mike Rice today, still waiting. John Barr reports this story now as he did 2 years ago. He joins me. John, that's an incredible level of a very personal emotion that it came out in your conversation.
Yeah, Bob, he was surprisingly emotional this far removed from it. And I guess it just really drives home the point that, you know, in that 24-hour period where he lost his job, his world came crashing down. This was a guy who was getting ready to coach a team in the Big Ten. Remember, Rutgers at that time was getting ready to enter into the Big Ten. It should have been a rising point in Mike Rice's life, and instead his world came to a crashing halt. And it just really hurts for him to relive it even today.
So as he's waiting for the phone to ring and possibly get back into the coaching profession, though, it's not that simple. He has some legal issues. He's being sued.
That's right. Yeah, he's actually being sued on multiple fronts. There are three former players suing in two separate lawsuits. One of those players, Derek Randall, actually brought a federal lawsuit against Mike Rice, Tim Pernetti, the athletic director, other Rutgers officials. He alleges that Rice both psychologically and physically abused him. In the lawsuit, it spells out how Randall has a learning disability. And then there's, of course, the lawsuit filed by a former director of player development, Eric Murdoch, who was the whistleblower in the Rutgers incident, who we'll hear from shortly. So, yes, he has plenty of legal issues as well.
We're watching him work with younger athletes, candid moments, but you can see and feel and hear that edge, that there still is that Mike Rice ferocity, he says, trying to apply new school techniques to old school values. But you can certainly see an intensity there still.
And I think he would call it passion, and I think it is fair to call it passion. You know, one of the things he shared with us is that the technique that he wound up getting in trouble with was a training technique he borrowed from a Navy SEAL training manual, the whole notion of making his players comfortable in chaos, just the way drill sergeants make Navy SEALs or prospective Navy SEALs comfortable in chaos. And so that is why, he said, he used the intense language, the physical contact, to toughen up his players who, after the first year, often crumbled when they would get into close games. He recognizes, of course, that he went too far, that he crossed the line, but it was an idea, he says, born of good intentions. And you can still see little slivers of that intensity today. He's as passionate about teaching the game of basketball as he's ever been.
Look, we know there's a lot of intensity in coaching. We hear stories. There have been other coaches, other incidents. What part of him, if any, says, well, I'm the guy that had the tape rolling. The tapes became public. I'm the guy that got nailed.
Yeah, there's a strong sense of that. In fact, he says he's heard from a number of his coaching colleagues around the collegiate ranks. It'll come as no shock to you or most people that some very colorful language is often used at college practices. Of course, he went to the added step of using gay slurs, but he has heard from others that they've used similar language, and he's aware of cases where other coaches have used similar language, and coaches have shared with him that they've had to change their ways. They just recognize there are some things they can't say, some things they can't do, and that is what one might refer to now, I guess, as the Mike Rice effect. It is real. And at least anecdotally, he's heard from a number of people who've shared with him that they've had to change.
Hey, John Barr, thanks so much. Appreciate it. If Mike Rice is waiting for the phone to ring for a possible job prospect, ESPN's Andy Katz will have a fix on whose finger, if anyone's, is about to hit send. Andy, in the college game, what's the buzz about this gentleman 2 years after the fact?
Well, right now, Bob, in talking to a number of head coaches and at least one athletic director, they told me that at the very best, he could maybe be an assistant coach, but it's highly unlikely. In fact, one head coach told me that you have to look at this a little differently. It's not a mistake, not like an NCAA violation like Bruce Pearl or Kelvin Sampson and how they were able to come back and be head coaches. This one coach told me it is a disturbed character flaw that Mike Rice has, and that's why it may make it very difficult for him to get another head coaching job or, in some instances, an assistant coaching job in Division I.
It all comes down to circumstance, contacts, as so many different things in life. In your estimation and from what you've heard around the college game, what sort of a coach or who could make such a hire? What kind of a school or coach could make this work?
Well, I got some interesting responses. First of all, one head coach told me that it would have to be a coach that's got tons of equity, been there for a long time, and would have to be with Mike Rice on the floor, in the recruiting circles, on the road with him, really almost putting his arm around him in a figurative sense to guide him through this process. Another coach told me that it would have to be a place where he's very familiar, whether that's one of his former stops, whether that's Robert Morris, Pitt, St. Joe's, or even back where he played and was an assistant coach at Fordham. But the athletic director told me that we're in an era right now where public relations is most important, and it'd be very difficult even for an entrenched athletic director and president to make the hire of Mike Rice and go in front of a news conference and say, this is our guy going forward.
Very difficult, the assessment. Andy Katz, appreciate it. The Mike Rice situation was first brought to the attention of the Rutgers University administration 3 years ago by Eric Murdoch, who worked at that time as the player development director under Mike Rice. Eric played 9 seasons in the NBA. He was fired by Rice in 2012. He is suing Rice and Rutgers for what he claims was a wrongful dismissal. And Eric, it's good to speak with you. You heard John Barr's conversation. You heard the emotions expressed, the viewpoints expressed by Mike Rice. What's your reaction to what you heard?
Well, my reaction is, you know, what you've seen in the video doesn't really tell the true story. You know,
which videos?
I was there on a daily basis. Yeah, the practice videos. I was there on a daily basis, and it was tough, you know, mentally on some of these kids. And it was a lot worse on a day-to-day basis. I mean, when you got kids, you know, seeing psychologists and having anxiety attacks and, you know, even some kids contemplating suicide, it was, you know, a lot harder than people know. So Don't just look at the videos. You got to look at the day-to-day of what was going on every day. Can you just imagine you going to work and somebody just belittling you, embarrassing you, berating you each and every day for one simple mistake for 2 years? You know, some kids can't take that.
That said, and the fact that you worked in concert with Mike Rice, and that's obvious by your observations right there, you know the man. You heard him speak with John Bark. Did he sound sincere and contrite to you?
It's hard to say. I don't know what he's been doing for the last 3 years. You know, they said he was supposed to complete some classes. There's documents that those classes weren't completed. There's things that he was supposed to do, that he was supposed to pay for. We understand that those things were not paid for. So I don't know what Mike Rice has been doing for the last 3 years. Obviously, the things that you saw in the video, he's of course he's going to change. He's not going to throw a basketball at another player. He's not going to kick another player. But for me, what's most important is the mental aspect of every day being in practice, where basketball is a game full of mistakes. And, you know, if a kid makes one mistake, you don't embarrass the kid for 10 minutes and shut down the practice and totally embarrass the kid. That's what I'm more worried about than anything, is just the mental approach.
I'm going to play a piece of audio tape. You've doubtless heard it before. It's from late in 2012. It's a recording of you. You did not, by all accounts, make this recording. It was acquired by the Chronicle of Higher Education from Rutgers in a Freedom of Information request. And let's play it. This is your voice.
We all have bitten our tongue. Because why? Because he's the boss. And you got to respect the boss. I've done that. I respected the boss for 2 years. Even though there's a lot of things I disagree with, I respected my position. And didn't say anything. Did it. Whatever you want me to do, I'm doing it. All right, Rice, you know, we need to give these kids confidence. We don't need it for what? I play at the highest level. It means the world when your head coach is giving players confidence. But no, we're just going to crack the whip. We're just going to crack the whip until they can't go anymore. Cheating motherfuckers like slaves, just cracking the whip. That's all you're doing, you're cracking the whip. And when the motherfucker can't deliver, you cut his toe off like Luther King said.
The voice of Eric Murdoch from late June 2012, back with us now outside of the lines. Give me some context. Obviously, you're upset. Obviously, there's some profanity there. You're obviously speaking about the coaching situation with Mike Rice. But the context of that conversation is what?
I mean, I was just frustrated.
You've just been fired, right?
It was just a culmination of 2 years of us trying to talk to this man about how his method is counterproductive, how his best ball players is going the other way, that he needs to change how he coaches these guys. These kids are 17 years old, 18 years old, with aspirations of going to the NBA, and they come to me as the director of player development saying, is this how the Big East is? And I'm trying to tell them that, no, it's not. You know, I've never seen anything like that on any level. And it was just a matter of me trying to protect these kids. You know, I would go to these assistant coaches who were above me. You know, a couple of them were black. And, you know, in this business, when you're a black man, you just don't go above the head coach and get someone fired. You try to talk to them. You try to relate to them that, you know, these methods and these means are counterproductive.
Did you tell Mike Rice, when you were speaking to other staff members, I understand, in that conversation, Mike Rice, from all accounts I've seen, was behind a closed door nearby. Did you ever express similar sentiments directly to Mike Rice?
Absolutely. I can't tell you how many conversations I had with Mike Rice about changing how he's coaching some of these players, because these players confided a lot in me as the director of player development, someone who played in the NBA 9 years. 90% of Division I basketball players think they're going to the NBA, and I was there to not thwart their dreams, but to let them know that there's a bigger world out there, that, you know, you can be successful not playing in the NBA. But for them to come in there, you know, to the Big East with those aspirations and to be treated like that, it was just, you know, unfair to those kids. And
we've got 10 seconds. I just want to ask you, did it sound to you in the conversation you heard that Mike Rice has changed?
You know, I do believe in second chances.
Okay.
And, you know, everybody deserves a second chance, but I wouldn't let him coach my son.
Okay. And
just
again,
being there on a day-to-day basis, seeing the mental abuse, I wouldn't let him coach
my
son.
Of course, you're involved in a legal action against the university, against Mike Rice. Eric, I appreciate your being with us today outside the lines. Eric Murdoch.
Geico presents Strange Savings Stories. Astronomers detected an interstellar transmission. It stated, Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. The implications were staggering. Was the cosmos telling us we could all save hundreds on car insurance with Geico? Or did their radar merely pick up a signal from the nearby Rufus and Clyde's morning show? We may never know.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Outside the Lines, 25 years of reporting. 2005. Former world chess champion Bobby Fischer confronts OTL's Jeremy Schapp regarding an article Schapp's father Dick had written about Fischer.
Did you read the article where he said there's not, I don't have a sane bone in my body?
Honestly, I'm not sure if I read it, but I know that he said it.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't know that you've done much here today, really, to disprove anything he said.
Don't miss our anniversary special Tuesday on ESPN.
And now, for Geico's edition of Stuff Found in Your Car, we go inside your side door pocket.
Hello, yes, the crumpled receipt with gum in it. From your anniversary dinner, you sprang for expensive wine, your server was Beth. That dinner was a couple $100s. Money you could get back if you switched to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. I bet you'd save that receipt. Frame it even. But really, where did I go wrong? Was it the corkage fee?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com today.
Tonight, 7 Eastern, the All-Star starters are announced on Baseball Tonight. 8 Eastern, Giants and Nets. We'll see you tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, over on ESPN2 with OTL. Here are the sports reporters now.